Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 86. Bring back the MVP.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Mr. Cuse.
Anvil.
That little pause there was for Blahnik, who is not here today.
I know, I always go last, and I had to give a pause, because, you know, Blahnik's off, like, dealing his job or something.
Speak up a little bit more, you're not getting captured on the mic.
Well, what if I don't want to get captured on the mic? Huh?
Tough shit.
No, actually, last week I took a really tough shit. Like, you know, I had me pinned up against the wall at one point, and I was crying, and then it stole my wallet on its way out.
Anywho, we're, well, at least I'm preparing to get shit together for the Penny Arcade Expo, which is in 2 weeks.
Listen, my weekend's gonna be better that weekend, okay?
What do you mean? How is it gonna be better that weekend?
Well, if all things go as planned, I have an interview that weekend with the band Widow Sunday.
No, that's next week. I'm talking about the week afterwards.
The 11th.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing it.
I'm doing it the 11th.
Oh, you were saying you were doing it next week.
No, the 11th. I said the 11th. Remember when you said I can't do it, I'll be at the convention.
Oh, that's right. Well, what were you talking about for this weekend?
I'm going to their concert again.
Oh, okay.
Not the interview.
Oh, all right. I thought you were going to, like, do the interview while you were at the concert.
Nope, we're going to set it up to actually do it privately where, you know, we can sit down and spend a good amount of time on that, you know, interview.
Okay.
Well, I think we need to talk about something.
What do you want to talk about?
Little bitches.
Little bitches? Yeah. What type of little bitches?
Like, you know, the stank hoes that you find on Union Street. 2 cents, for a whole night? Yeah. That kind of stank ass hoe.
Yeah, we're surprised that these stank-ass bitches are around on Union Street. I would figure that the cops would just come around and just bust them.
Yep, but no, they're somehow still around. You know, when people still, you know, go out and pick up these hoes, it makes it hard to get rid of them. Even though, you know, these hoes don't know what they're doing.
Right. And it's a travesty because they're getting away with... They're basically getting away with murder.
Basically. Especially when, you know, they say something that is completely wrong. Like, you know, they get into the ROM and it's 2 cents for the night and then come morning they're stealing your entire wallet.
Correct.
And then you're really confused saying, wait, that makes no sense.
Whatsoever.
I know.
That's why the expression is bros before hoes. So.
Yeah, unless that bro becomes a hoe. Oh. In which case, it's a different story.
Like a transgender type of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's another horse of a different color.
That's right. And I told you, you don't need to name to actually get your opinion out.
Correct.
Hey, listen, we can voice our opinions about a lot of things, but we don't have to say who.
Correct.
You can be the bigger man and voice an opinion.
Exactly.
That's all I was trying to say.
And even if some people do disagree with that opinion, we just have to respect them for that.
Truthfully, everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yep.
And as we know here at B3, we don't name names unless, you know...
Everybody already knows the names that we're talking about.
Of course.
Which I don't, so...
Yes, you do.
What? Okay, I do, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You'll understand.
You'll understand okay. Perfectly.
All right.
The local area's been popping. You know, like I said, I've got a concert each night next week.
Yeah.
Which, you know, features the same main band, But then there's different bands working underneath.
Right.
Those are the bands that, you know, I want to go and hear, plus I do want to hear Widow Sunday.
Correct.
Because, as you know, I've already talked about one show. I became a big fan of them. I mean, you guys listened to, you know, part of one song, and you and Blue were ready to mosh pit. Mainly Blue.
Yep.
So, it was a good thing. You know, I got to set up that interview. Because, you know, they've already agreed to it. Now we just got to, you know, get the date set up in time. We got to get that contest thrown together.
Yep.
Because then, you know, the 11th is right around the corner.
Yep. Well, you got to write that. We got to write it out on the website.
Yeah. And, you know, I got my fingers crossed that we actually have a winner by then.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure we will.
Hopefully.
Well, I've actually gotten like 5 or 6 emails about people about the band.
Oh, good.
That's what makes me think that we'll have one. Including, like, there was this one guy who said that he's heard of them, but never seen them. And because of us, he's actually plans on going to one of the shows this weekend.
All right.
And then one, I got one message from a 12-year-old.
Wow.
Who's a, loves metal, and actually went to their website, and she, now she's a giant fan of them. And she just wants to say thank you.
Cool.
And apparently, like, somebody she knows was on Ustream and flicking through and hit our show. Mm-hmm. And she's like, they didn't stay and watch it. She's like, but I heard you guys talking about them. I'm like, nice. So, I mean, little things help. So what about you, Mr. Duck? What's up with you?
Well, I did check out the band of Subby Sexy when they played at the Brighton Music Hall last week. Well, they played yesterday. Well, we'll be technically last week when the podcast pops up, but you know what I mean.
Yes, we all know what you mean, except for the people listening, because they have no clue what you mean, because they're really confused at this point.
So, I've been trying to see this band live for almost 5 years, because every time I hear they're coming to Boston, it's always like the day of when I find out. So, as soon as I heard, I got tickets for myself, Pink Taco, and her girlfriend. And we went in and...
Taco. I love my tacos pink.
Hot and spicy.
Love you, Pink Taco.
So, we get to the Brighton Music Hall. It's a pretty nice place. I don't know if you've ever been there. It used to be Harper's Ferry.
Oh, yeah, I've been there. I didn't know that was the name.
Yeah, they...
And I'm like, what the fuck is this place? And you said Harper's Ferry. I'm like, place is cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little... It's a small club, but it's a little bit more open. I think it's a little bit bigger than the Middle East upstairs.
I did a... Let me see. Which band did I go to see there? This was a while back. I think I was still in high school. We all lied to get in. Guy asked us if we were 18, and we looked at him. Look at us. Come on, really? And we deepened our voice, and he was like, all right, come on in. $5 cover.
Yeah.
And we were like 16.
Pink Taco's girlfriend wasn't so, almost didn't get so lucky because she forgot her license.
Ooh.
So they still let her in, but they put two X's on her hands so they wouldn't serve her drinks.
No alcohol?
Nope.
But what if the band sucked?
You need alcohol. None of them did.
Why didn't she just wash it off?
Permanent marker.
That's why you bring alcohol pads in your back pocket.
Nope.
Wait, am I teaching alcohol? Am I teaching people how to?
Well, then she wouldn't have the wristband either.
Hey, it got wet in the bathroom.
No, it's like one of those ridiculous wet wristbands where you actually need scissors to cut it off.
Oh, they really?
And then you can't bring scissors into a club because that would be technically a weapon.
Yeah,
it'd
be dangerous. Yeah, that's a question.
So, yeah.
I've cut those off with keys before, okay?
I don't know. The only key she had was her Salem State clipper card thing.
Don't make me shank you with a bar of soap. Do you know how they do that?
They harden it.
They actually melt it down and harden it into a shank. And then they shank you. But at least your incision smells fresh. And it, you know, helps limit the chance of infection because it was cleaned with a bar of soap.
Ritalin.
Whoa. I was done right there. You didn't have to go tap and Ritalin me. Come on. I was done. I turned back to you and then you hit me with that? Come on.
Yep.
That was part of the conversation.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, I was making a threat for a second. Or, I'm sorry, a promise. Threats are a crime.
Fine. Anyway, we see Asobi Seksu, but the first band that goes on, they're called Brahms, and they're like an electronic pop rock band. And I liked their sound. I thought they were pretty good. The lead singer had that sort of Julian Casablancas type of voice to him.
Who?
From The Strokes.
Oh, okay.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he reminded me a lot of him. and it had a good beat. It felt like it was the type of music you can just really dance to. You could do fast dance or slow dance, techno dance.
So you're saying kind of like club music a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, it was okay. Like they were like a club music type of band.
Okay.
You're not a fan of that type?
I worked clubs for 5 years. I hate all club music.
Well, it's not like, you know, Spanish club music.
Not funny.
It's not where every beat is do 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 do.
When it's done right, the women take all their clothes off. I've seen it like 5 times in my bouncing career. 2 or 3 naked women just dance in the corner.
Is that a good naked or a bad naked?
One was a really bad naked. One was a horrendous naked.
Okay, all right. That's...
So, okay. See, then that's bad club music then.
You remember Big Mama's house?
Yeah.
Big Mama.
Oh, Big Mama. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Big Mama.
Wow, okay.
Actually, when she took her thong off, we all thought that there was a slingshot on the floor. But then the other two were, oh, my God. Boss is like, go tell them to put the clothes back on.
You tell them.
What?
Poke him with a giant stick and just tell him to get out.
Poke him with a giant stick, huh?
Boom.
Well, that sounds like something
else. See, Mr. Hughes catches on to the joke. You actually imitate like you're poking somebody with a real stick.
Right, because no one would want to poke their penis at that.
Not the fat one, the cute ones.
Well, you said all of them were the ugly ones.
No, I said one of them was ugly.
And the other one was horrendous.
Dude, I said one group was horrendous, and then the other two...
Yeah, they were good looking. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just get back to the show.
Okay, so Brahms is really good. Or is it Brahms? I think it's Brahms, you pronounce it. Like the...
like the musician?
Yeah, like the classical musician. I liked him. I bought their 7-inch single that they had there. Vinyl is coming back, you immature bastard. Vinyl. Records. You dicks.
That's the way you did it. You're like this. So, I bought the 7-inch vinyl and you were like making the movement like...
No.
Okay.
Okay. Alright. And then SW Sexu came out. They did like an hour long set. They focused mainly on material from the new album Florencids, which is a great album. They also did some songs from Citrus and Hush, and I think a couple from their self-titled debut. The one thing that I didn't like, and this is a problem with most concerts, is that the vocalist, Yuki Chikodate,
the Japanese.
Yeah, this really? Is the, yeah.
Oh, I know they were Japanese, so I'm like,
no.
What?
No, they're not Japanese. They're from New York City. The lead
That's
singer.
That's even worse.
Their lead singer is from Japan.
That's what I meant.
But she moved here when she was 2.
Well, that's the one that you were in contact with, right? You're telling me?
Yeah, I did an interview with James Hanna, which you can read on the B3 website.
Okay, so what's her name again?
Yuki Chikodate. The problem with the show was half the time the music was drowning out her vocals.
Oh, I hate that.
Which sucks because I think she's got one of the best voices in the music industry. Okay, it's beautiful. She's got one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard in the music industry.
Who would you compare her voice to? Is anyone else you could kind of...
No, there really isn't. Really. The way that she sings, she can hit the high notes perfectly. Like, remember the stories of the Greek myths, the Odysseus and the sirens and these beautiful women that sing and... The sailors would be so drawn to them that they would you know, set sail for their little island and they would sink and die because they were hypnotized by the voice. This is the voice that Yuki has.
I gotta keep my mouth shut.
Why?
Because I was gonna say, son, and you'll probably try to kick me after.
Her voice is hypnotizing. It's
okay,
beautiful.
Thank you for clarifying because you know that's not what I was gonna say.
No, this was the. Remember, you've read the Odyssey, right?
Yes,
Homer,
I have.
Homer's Odyssey.
All right, well, I was going to say, so you're saying her voice is so beautiful you want to kill yourself.
No.
Well, that's basically what they did.
It was...
Hypnotizing. That's why I said thank you for clarifying.
No.
Yes, now I know this.
Her vocals are so beautiful that it could hypnotize you into anything.
So is it, I know you said you can't compare it to anyone else, but is it kind of like how Marie Digby kind of has like, you know, a good,
I don't know who that is.
You know who that is?
Who is that?
She's a singer. You know that song Umbrella, which was by,
Rihanna?
Rihanna. She did it over, but she did it like a, you know, acoustic type version of it.
Okay.
I'm talking about, forget it.
She's like looking at us like, really?
Yeah, you guys have
no. She's famous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, anyways.
It's very hard for me to compare it to any like other American singers. I can compare it to a couple Japanese singers, but I can't compare it to any like American or English-speaking singers. But she's got such a great voice. I know they do a great show live. It's just that sometimes the vocals get drowned out, like in most concerts. I remember seeing U2 5 or 6 years ago, and you could barely hear what Bono was singing because The Edge and Adam Clayton and the other guy were drowning him out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're currently on tour. Check their MySpace, myspace.com/asobisexu, and hopefully they'll be coming around your town with Brahms, who are a great band. I hope that they get noticed by a big label, and hopefully they'll be coming around here sometime soon on their own headlining tour.
Okay.
Well, let's move on to sports. Who's first? Oh, Anvil, you're first with the hockey.
All right, so, you know, we're post-All-Star, you know, break and post-trade deadline, which, you know, we, of course, covered last week. And the Bruins are on their Canadian tour.
Oh, yep.
Yes, unfortunately, they have to listen to O Canada every single game for the next couple, you know, few games. They won't be home again until March 3rd. Basically, how it is we're undefeated on this road trip so far. I hope tonight when we take on Edmonton, we can keep that going. The new players have all showed up, and they're playing very well together. I especially like Cabrera and Chara working that power play together. It just works. Chris Kelly coming in, playing well. Rich Peverley, I'm liking him. I really think this might be the year the Bruins can finally hoist that Stanley Cup. It just feels different this year.
What do you mean? How does it feel different?
They got pieces, finally. You know, Peter Chiarelli finally did something to earn that paycheck. And it looks like they're all gelling. Like, instead of just all different talent, it actually seems like unity. And that's what we really need, is that unity.
Yeah, because I was going to say something about that. Is like, sometimes you make a big trade, in the beginning, it doesn't work out. The players don't really get along. But, like, for the Bruins, it seems like that they're kind of all, like you say, you're gelling. And it's working out for the better. And they're all kind of coming together and... that's an important thing for a trade, is the players can't really butt heads, because if you have to make a bad trade, then the players start diverting, and
yep.
They all want to, you know, each player wants to score more than the other player, and they all want to, you know, kind of hog the puck, so
exactly.
So that's why I think it was, you know.
Well, I know there was some tension between them and Blake Wheeler, and now he's gone, and it seems like, you know, the chemistry is just rebuilding.
Yeah.
So this might actually be the team to bring us a Stanley Cup for the first time since 1972.
Maybe.
That's what I said. It might be.
Good.
I need a second to think about that. The last time we hoisted a Stanley Cup, our captain was Bobby Orr.
Yep.
40 years ago last season, he scored that impeccable flying goal.
But I thought they won another Stanley Cup in the 80s. Or
no.
Oh, wait, they got the Stanley
Cup. They got there.
That's what I'm thinking.
It was like 86 maybe or something? Or?
I think that was the
against
infamous...
Against Montreal, right?
No, that was the infamous game where they thought there was a sixth player, and they saw that there was more than one player than what the Bruins had. They brought one in, and they got a penalty for it.
Yep.
It was this whole infamous ghost story, from what I heard.
And then they went on the power play and we lost.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm not crying much. I just love my Bruins.
I know you do.
It's time for them to win, I think. I mean, I haven't seen them win a cup, obviously. And it would just be nice to see the Bruins, you know, get over that hump and
just like win this. In our lifetime, we've seen... 3 Super Bowl wins, 2 Red Sox wins.
Yeah, World Series.
1 NBA championship win. We need to see our Stanley Cup.
Yeah. No, it's the last
year. Yeah.
We've seen a lot in our life. There are people who never saw a single one of those. You know, those poor people that came in shortly after the Red Sox, you know, won or whatever. You know, were born after 86 and then died young or something.
Yeah.
So I know my best friend, he never got to see some of that.
Right. Because, let's see, we've had Super Bowl, we've had World Series, we've had NBA Championship. We haven't gotten Major League Soccer yet.
Well, I don't know if I can say that was a sport.
It's the second most popular sport in the world. I know. Right behind MMA.
Thank you, MMA took over, baby! I was excited the day that happened. I was so excited I almost went on Twitter.
Yeah, you gotta do that a little bit more, dude.
Listen, I wrote I wanted pepperoni pizza a year ago.
Which means you need to start doing another tweet.
I gotta figure out what I want. Maybe next week I'll want a cheeseburger, okay? The Bruins are gelling. They go again tonight. They return home on March 3rd.
All right, now on to baseball with Mr. Q's.
Okay. The good news is that Pedroia is going to be good to go for this upcoming 2011 season. After breaking his foot last year and being out most of the whole year, and it was really tough for him, of course, because he's such a competitive person, but it was even tough for me because you're used to seeing him play 162 games all year going all out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really rough just not seeing him play. So good to see him back. The staff is going to keep a close eye on him, of course, just in case any injuries happen or any slip-ups because they want him to be healthy, you know, for the stretch run. They can't have him out, you know, when they're trying to make a playoff push with all the good players they got this year. So he's going to be playing against BC, second base. Real tough game, Boston College, but, you know, it's preseason. And then Euclid also was injured last year. He tore a ligament in his thumb. And he's going to play. He'll switch from first to third. Third is his natural position.
Yep.
Which he likes a lot better. He even admitted that he really didn't like first base. But And also the other thing is that Carl Crawford is not playing because of personal reasons. I think it was due to his grandmother. And Darnell McDonald will start in his place instead. But we'll still be able to see him. It's just a...
It depends when he's ready.
Yeah, it'll just probably be a game or two he'll miss.
Okay.
So that's that, and just excited to see a Red Sox team with all their core players in place.
Yep.
And I think they got a good team this year, so just going to be really exciting for baseball to start. So.
Excellent. All right, let's go on to basketball, where there's been some pretty famous or infamous trades this past week.
I wouldn't say infamous.
We had that Nugget going over to the Knicks.
Still an infamous. It's alright. We're all getting kind of annoyed by it. Oh, is he going to the Nets? Is he going to the Knicks? Is he going to the Nets? Is he going to the Knicks? Is he going to the Nets? Knicks, 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 Nets, Nets. It's like, shut the fuck up!
Even they were talking about maybe Lakers, obviously, that didn't happen.
But. Yeah.
The Lakers are like, we want him! We want him! I want to play! Shut up, Lakers. We hate you. So, basically what happened was Celtics made a couple moves.
They made a couple trades, yeah.
They got rid of Kendrick Perkins and Nate Robinson, sent him to the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for Jeff Green and Krysek.
Menad Krysek, yeah.
Menad Krysek, yes. Now, a lot of people are like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We don't have Kendrick Perkins. Well, what a lot of people don't remember is Jeff Green was a Celtic for like 5 minutes. That's about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, people are like, how was he only a Celtic for 5 minutes? Back in 07, he drafted Jeff Green in the first round.
Yep.
Then we sent him, Delonte West, and Wally Szczerbiak over to the Seattle Supersonics in exchange for Ray Allen.
Yep.
Now, Delonte West is back. We got Jeff Green back. It's like, hey, let's just keep Wally Szczerbiak where he is.
Yeah, I don't think we want Wally.
Oh, I hated Wally Szczerbiak.
It's horrible.
Yes.
He's like, I play basketball. Dunk. Oh, my net down there. Oops. And the team win. Yeah. Okay, I'm done making fun of Wally Szczerbiak. So, in my opinion, it was a really good trade. I thought they needed to get rid of Perkins. He's coming off major knee surgery that ended his year last year.
Yep.
And then
he still needs to rehabilitate it.
And then he comes back and lands wrong and injures the other knee.
Oh.
He needed to go.
Well, the other thing about
just sell his body parts to other basketball players that need him.
Yeah. I mean, also the other thing is that for his contract is that he saw other players get huge contracts, and after this year, he's going to ask for, you know, $50 million plus for a couple of years, so they didn't want to have to pay him huge money. They wanted to get something in return for someone that, you know, is not guaranteed to not be injury prone. So that's the main reason why they did that.
And then we basically threw away three players. Open up the trash can, said, see ya.
Yep.
Marquise Daniels got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
He went by the way. But he was looking to be enough for the year.
Yep.
Haron Godey. Luke Haron Godey, good kid.
Yep.
Good Irish boy. Him and Erdan are gone. Basically, we really didn't get much for him. Second round draft picks. But it frees up three roster spots for buying out contracts of players who were released.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a name on the list. I think the Celtics, if they want to make a push for the playoffs, should go for it. Former Celtic, Leon Poe. Because Cleveland, when we sent a player over there, cut Poe.
But is Poe a very vital player in the NBA?
He was when he played for us. I think he actually did pretty good for Cleveland, but...
But just being in Cleveland just drains you. They're not that good of a team. That lowers your self-esteem. They kind of make you go, what's the point?
They were fantastic when they had LeBron James and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. And then they both run away to Miami together.
Yeah.
It's like, tee-hee-hee. And then, you know, Zydrunas braided, you know, LeBron's hair. And LeBron polished Zydrunas' head.
Yep.
And they also got with each other's moms.
No. That was just Salonte West. It was okay. He took both their moms at the same time.
They decided not to do that, too.
Yeah, they said, no, we're friends. Moms are off limits. Mom, where'd you go? Damn it, Delonte! It's like, damn, Delonte's with both our moms. Our moms are freaks.
Threesome, yeah.
Nice.
What's your opinion on the trades?
I guess what I would say is, you know, I think that they got Jeff Green, who's a great scorer and a great defender, you know, averaging 16 points a game and very explosive. I just think they need to get, like, a backup center, you know, because the O'Neals are not going to be healthy, obviously, the whole year. Jermaine's been out for a while. And so they need someone else just to back them up. And, you know, like you said, people can be bought out of their contracts, so I'm sure they can find someone to do it. And I think Leon Poe wouldn't be a bad choice. He's a fan favorite. I remember in the finals against the Lakers, he went nuts. He had like a game where he scored 26 points and was like dunking on everyone. And
he was blocking Kobe pretty well too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the reasons why they got rid of him is because of this, because of, you know, the surgery he had. But when he was healthy and playing for them, he was a very integral part of their team. Yeah. So,
and I think that we should give him another shot.
I think so. Yeah, and he wouldn't be really expensive either. It's not like they're gonna cost him like, you know, $10 million a year. I'm sure it'll be, I don't know, $3-4 million, I'm not sure how much he goes for, but it wouldn't be a lot, so they'd be taking it.
I always love how we could sit here and joke around and say, yeah, he wouldn't be worth a lot, $3-4 million. All right, let's all get our money together, start a basketball team. All
right,
yeah. I got $5.
I got like, 2 nickels.
I got half a penny.
Wait, how'd you get half a penny? Will you play with my surgical shears again?
It's a wooden penny.
I don't know. You know the surgical shears that EMTs use?
Yep.
I've cut pennies in half of them.
Nice. Were you really that bored once?
Yeah, they said that they could cut through anything, so I pulled a penny out of my pocket and cut them. I'm like, they really could cut through anything. Yeah. But back to sports, you know, before we get too far off subject.
Yep.
Let's move on to football.
Okay.
Football. My foot hit ball. Okay, so basically, there's not a lot going on in football, except, you know, of course, the NFL and the Players Union sat down again, and they have been sitting down every day for big meetings with the arbitrator, or the mediator, I apologize, and getting it done. They actually feel that they could have it all worked out by March 3rd. I'm still not staying that optimistic. Because, you know, they say, oh, you know, March 3rd, you know, we'll be done by then. You know, we'll have basketball. I mean, basketball, right? We'll have football. And it's like, really? Because, you know, that's next Thursday. That's 5 days from now.
Yep. Or if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's 2 days from now.
Basically.
Yeah.
And I really hope like it works enough so we don't have a lockout.
Yeah.
Hockey still hasn't recovered.
You're right.
Yeah.
So.
Other thing about football is such a big revenue sharing business. You know, they make so much money on revenue, on commercials. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to show, you know, it just they're going to lose so much money. And also they're going to have the situation with the players. The players have to still work and do something. They can't just, you know, do nothing. So right. There's a lot
the,
of.
The UFL, right?
UFL and.
The arena football? Maybe could they go to.
Maybe. I don't know.
You don't know?
Okay. I mean, they can go anywhere, but technically, you know, they don't play anywhere, but I don't know if you'd really want to go, you know, arena at that point. That's like a backward step.
Kurt Warner went there.
Huge backward step.
That was before he went to the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually what brought his career back up, as they realized he had an arm. But, you know, the UFL might actually see more players show up.
Oh, okay.
Because it's real football.
Arena's, like, shorter, right? Isn't it, like...
Yeah, it's only half the field.
Yeah, it's half the field.
You watch a quarterback launch a touchdown pass like he's... you see 300-pound men carrying the ball. That's the running backs. You don't run much.
Yeah.
You hand it off to an offensive lineman, he runs.
That's true. I think what they're going to do is they're going to have it in their contract where they are able to go somewhere else. It would be unfair to just say, you know, this. You know, there's a lockout. You can't play anywhere else. You can do nothing. They have to have some kind of clause.
But then you also have these older players who are like, all right, I can do one more year, try to win my ring. Lockout happens. They're done.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I know there's a lot of players who were smart last year because they were talking about it and saved money. They actually took portions of each check because I know Ray Lewis was talking about it. Taking portions of each check and just putting it aside for this year.
Mm-hmm.
In case of a lockout.
Yeah.
And if there's no lockout, you might see guys buy new houses or boats or something. Well, I got $3 million set aside. Or they could pull a Charlie Sheen and just, you know, buy a bunch of hookers and fall into a pile of, you know, of cocaine.
Yeah.
2.5 football players.
Right there.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So... Two football players, that would be an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, and a kicker?
Yeah, I think so. That would work out well.
Getting off the topic for 1 second, speaking of 2.5 men, it's been canceled.
Well, the season's been canceled.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen, I heard, went nuts.
Yeah. Yep. Season's been canceled, but the series hasn't.
As of yet.
Yeah.
Which they're actually discussing that. But we'll get back to, you know, that's not in this matter. Also in football, the NFL Scouting Combine is coming up. Big, huge event. There's a couple guys that I'm watching. One guy that the Patriots are expected to take, and that's Alabama running back Mark Ingram. A lot of guys have him predicted to come to us. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But there's a BC player I'm really watching. Mark Herzlich.
Oh, yeah. Safety, right? Or not safety,
yeah. Linebacker. Expected to go top 10 in the draft. Then he gets Ewing's sarcoma, and which is a really rare form of bone cancer. He fights it, beats it, and comes back last year to play.
And he was probably one of the best defensive players. Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
So I love, you know, I want to watch him in this combine because he dropped from, you know, potential top 10 draft pick to like, oh, 5th, 6th round.
Yep.
I'd hate to see him drop that far. But I also wouldn't mind seeing him play as a Pat.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I mean, obviously, number one pick is going to be Cam Newton, I think. But
no.
You don't think so?
No.
No?
Nah.
What do you think is going to be number one pick?
That's a tough one. Cam Newton, depends on how he does in this combine, but like, I'm a fan of his. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a good player. But for a pro-style offense, he don't got it. He's like another Tim Tebow.
I mean, I think what I've been hearing is that teams want to have a QB. Teams need a QB are down, you know, towards the top 5 picks. That's why I heard he was going to be number one. But
They were actually just talking about him a few minutes ago on SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Some of the guys, like, you know, he might go number three to Buffalo. Might go number five to somebody else. Might go number 10. I'm like,
So Fitzpatrick, if he went to Buffalo, Fitzpatrick could be in trouble because he's a starting QB from Harvard,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he had a pretty good year last year for someone that his first game was against the Pats, his first game he started, and he almost beat the Pats. And then from there, they didn't win a lot of games, but he still showed that for a journeyman, you know, or someone that no one ever heard of, he played really well. So it would be a blow to him if he develops. But be interesting.
You know, I'm a fan of watching the combine. I think it's a great time, and I also just like watching all of it. But I'm all set with football. What do you have on San Diego State and BYU?
Okay. So San Diego State is playing BYU today. It's Jimmer, or as you know, actually I found out today his name is Yimmer, but Jimmer versus San Diego State. I'm not even calling it BYU versus San Diego State. I'm calling it Jimmer versus San Diego State. That's pretty much what it is. But anyway, San Diego State is ranked number 6, and BYU is ranked number 7. And this is actually the first time that two Mountain West teams are ranked in the top 10. And they happen to be playing each other, too. And it's also a big game because San Diego State is trying to get that, you know, number 2, possibly number 1 seed. So this is a game they have to win. You know, this is like, you know, teams have games where if they don't win, they're on the bubble in a tournament for them. This is a big game because they're you know, 26-1. And BYU, if they win this game, they could overtake San Diego State in the rankings, and they could get that, you know, number 2 seed, maybe number 1. So it's a huge game. It's pretty exciting. And they played last time, and BYU actually gave San Diego State their first loss of the season because San Diego State started off the season undefeated. They were like 21-0. So it's pretty big, very exciting, and we'll see what happens. So,
That's good. So, what do you think the score is going to be for this game?
You know, I think even though BYU won last time, I think San Diego State's going to win. And I guess predicted score, I think it'll be high scoring, first of all, but I think it'll be 80-77 San Diego State. That's my prediction.
So. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to give my prediction over to San Diego State. I'm going to call it 84-80.
You think it's going to be that close?
Oh, yeah. These two are good teams. I give 4 points, he gives a 3.
All right. Yeah. Cool. All right. Is that it for sports?
Si, senor.
All right. Let's go into video games with the first one dealing with sports.
Sorry. Yeah, I feel so good.
I know.
Oh, I feel so good. Why are you going to torture me?
MLB Stop The Show me. 11.
Stop torturing me.
Wow. What can you say about this game?
Listen, I think I'd rather have Manny Ramirez or Barry Bonds or somebody just come up and crack me with a baseball bat than play this game again.
Well, let's just go into the little basics of the demo that they showcased. You played the, what was it? You played the World Series teams. You played Texas Rangers and the San Francisco Giants.
See.
At least you tried to play as one of these two teams. Because the controls in this game are the absolute worst I have ever seen, not just in a sports game, but in any video game I have ever put my hands on.
Oh, it was horrible. Like, pitching? Oh, forget about it.
Pitching was horrible. You couldn't hit to save your life.
But yeah.
Let's start with the pitching. For one, your fastballs had a curve.
Mm-hmm. Well, what they tried to make you do is use, like, the right stick to aim properly, but it was almost impossible to get it into a straight line.
It was hard to throw a strike, I thought, too. You know, when you throw it a lot of times it was outside or high, and you're throwing right down the middle. So
yeah.
And they should make it more user-friendly that if you want to throw a strike, you can do that. And also I found that when you threw a fastball, that was easy to get over the plate. But if you throw a curveball, it's way over.
Yeah.
Way to the side.
Or a changeup, too. Changeups are the worst because you almost hit the player every time.
Yeah. My personal favorite is I took one of their 12-6 curveballs, put it all the way at the top of the screen, and somehow it was a ball at the batter's feet. It's like, It just dropped a mile. Really?
It's like an Ephus pitch or something.
Yes.
And then you get to batting. You'd sit there. You'd get yourself ready. The ball would come in. You'd swing. And it's like, oh, I was late. And it tells you that you swung early. It's like, what? It's like, and yep. Then you know, it would be on the outside of the plate, and it wouldn't even swing that far. Truthfully, I wouldn't recommend this game to my worst enemy.
Well, here's the thing, too. You can play this game, too, with the PlayStation Move. So I would be curious as to see how much better the controls would be with that peripheral. That's like the Wii-style remote that the PlayStation has.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing how that would control, but with a regular controller, absolute shit. Like, this game disgusted me. It made me just not be a believer in baseball video games all over again.
I'm going to put it like this. We were trying another game that we're going to talk about in a minute, and Mr. Q's played, and... He was actually decimated in the first minute, the first time he tried it. And he looked and said, I had more fun getting destroyed than I did playing that baseball game.
Yeah, that's very rare, I must say.
So I'm like, damn, now I know that was horrible.
Yep, this game was absolutely, it looked good, but that's just about all you can say about it. It just looked good. And this is the thing that pisses me off about this series, MLB The Show. Critics love this game.
Well, critics are stupid.
IGN, GameSpot, I meant to say, GameSpot. Game Informer, they all give these games great reviews, yet it's just horrible, horrible shit.
Maybe they don't remember the days of good baseball games.
They do not.
Back when EA Sports had games like MVP Baseball 2005.
The greatest baseball game to ever come out. For those of you who don't remember, the series of MVP Baseball started out as the Triple Play series.
Yes, which was also a great time playing.
Yeah, I had Triple Play 97 for my PC. But MVP Baseball 2005 was the absolute best. And here are some of the reasons why. The pitching system. It was set up kind of like when you play golf on GameCube. It's one of those little meter systems. You push it at the right specific moment to either, you know, throw the ball or when it's time for you to be at bat to swing it. And what was good about swinging is you can also aim it with the left stick to, you know,
see where you can hit it. Either hit ground or you can hit it up.
You're right. Hit it more straightforward. Try hitting it for a pop fly to get to a home run. Try to bunt it. However you wanted to try it.
But this new crap is crap.
All right. And now here's some other things. I have the whole...
Do you know what my favorite part of the old MVP game was?
What was it?
Designing your own ballpark.
Yes. And then... That was another great thing about it. And then you could use it. You could, like, say, I'll charge this much. I'll charge that much for... souvenirs and hot dogs. There was owner mode.
Yep.
Owner mode. I loved owner mode because you got to literally control everything about your franchise.
Mm-hmm. But games aren't like that anymore.
They aren't.
EA Sports needs to be able to make video games or make baseball games.
They do. And this is and the reason why there hasn't been one since 2005 was they lost the third party rights for Major League Baseball. Had been signed on to the 2K Sports, who have also done a horrendous job with baseball games. So, what I believe should be done is MLB needs to cancel their agreement with 2K Sports and then sign back on with EA Sports. The only reason why that 2K Sports... got the third-party license was because they threw a shit ton of money at them because they were worried that EA Sports would, you know, grab everything like they grabbed, you know, Madden NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They were worried they would pull Madden with EA Sports, which I would have been perfectly fine with because Madden is a great football franchise. Yeah, the greatest
I look forward franchise. To it every year.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if Mr. Hughes...
I played the new one. It's great. It's like actually play it when you play the game. It's actually like game speed of an actual game. It's slowed down a little bit, but it's more realistic. You can also play like the Super Bowl. You can play in the Super Bowl. The confetti comes down if you win. It's really realistic.
You meet the president. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm done with talking about this game. I want to grade it, and I'll give it my grade first if you guys don't mind.
Give it your grade.
-0.
-0. You know what? I was going to give it a 0.5 just for the graphics, but you know what? Fuck it. -0.
I'll give it a -0, too. I thoroughly hated it.
So. Oh, my God. Wait. This is Mr. Cuse's first -0.
Yes.
This is a very important moment in -0 history.
It is.
From the day I created it to today.
Well, was that a you or a blonde that created it?
I started with potato. And then we had the discussion. And he gave a 0, and I negatived it.
Yes.
And you looked and said, how can a 0 be negative? I'm like, when it's so bad of shit, you wouldn't recommend it to your worst enemy. You negative it.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yeah.
-0 for MLB The Show 2011, the demo version. And it turned me off so much, I don't think I want to try out the full game. Because if it is like this from the full game, it's not going to be good.
Oh, wait, I get a text from Blue. He says -0. Fuck them. -0.
Even though he's not here, apparently.
He texted.
Matter of fact, do one of my demo reviews first before we go into the other one? Or
I don't know. How about we save the game we all played for last? All
right.
Okay.
Because I need to get some fresh air.
All right. Well, I did try out the demo for LEGO Star Wars 3, The Clone Wars, and I'm usually a big fan of the LEGO-based video games, because as a kid, you know, I used to play with LEGOs nonstop. Mm-hmm. And the demo contained two levels. They had, like, one flying mode where you piloted one of the, you know, one of the ships with R2-D2 in the back, and you had to try and destroy, like, the big, what was it, Grievous' ship. You follow Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
And you try to battle it, you have to aim certain targets at the ship in order to destroy it. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one that was more of a classic adventure mode, where you control, what's the princess's name from?
Leia?
No, not Leia, the one from the new trilogy. Oh. Pabalbal, Palamala,
yeah,
whatever her name is. But it's her, you control Anakin, and you control Obi-Wan. And you have to go through the level. You have to get, you know, from start to finish. You have to kind of sort of beat this little boss battle at the end. And the game is based on the Clone Wars cartoon.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if you've ever watched an episode of the Clone Wars series. What I found about these LEGO games is that as the games have progressed, nothing really has changed much in its gameplay. And I found that after playing the full game version of LEGO Harry Potter, it feels like the whole adventure mode and battle sequences just got way too repetitive. I felt like I was doing the same thing over and over and over again with the exact same results.
You're saying it wasn't very stimulating.
Right. Because it's one of those games that needs something new. I did like the aiming system in there. I liked how when the robots would shoot you or the droids would shoot you, you can actually block and ricochet them back with the lightsaber, kind of like in the actual movies. Uh-huh. I liked how they did that. But another thing that really turned me off, too, is the graphics. Now, the graphics are great. The LEGO people and the vehicles look good. But the actual giant ships in the game, the actual, the giant ones, they looked more realistic. Now, what I mean by that is they didn't look like they were built with Legos. They looked like they were the actual ships from the movies.
Okay.
If they had gone with the route of making the ships look like they were built with Legos, it would have been so much better. Because this is a Lego game, and everything in the world has to be built, you know, with Legos. Mm-hmm. That way, it gives that whole feel of a real Lego world coming to life. So by doing a realistic ship in a LEGO game, it kind of takes away from that whole aspect. Now, What I do like what they showcase in this demo, but by going the route of doing the Clone Wars and not focusing on anything else about the whole Star Wars world and just focusing on this little area, this little Clone Wars cartoon, it feels like they're really running out of ideas. Like, they've gone as far as they could with the Star Wars franchise, and they just need to shut the book on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they need to just take a break from it, and they just put it to the side and try on a new franchise. Like what they're doing with the Pirates of the Caribbean. They're doing a Lego Gold Pirates of the Caribbean game, and I think it could be pretty funny.
Yeah.
And it could be pretty good. So long as they don't go down the route of the repetitiveness that we saw and what I saw in this demo, what I saw in Lego Harry Potter, and I'll even say what I saw with Lego Indiana Jones. So, the demo was okay. I could give it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
One of the other demos I got to try out was Yakuza 4. And it was the battle mode demo. What the battle mode is, they're basically pitted against, it's one man versus 20 people. And unfortunately, you're just the one guy against the 20 people.
That's tough.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I can take care of 20 people. Let's go.
And it showcased the four different fights from the four main characters. And while the graphics weren't realistic, they looked pretty good. They looked like the new school Virtua Fighter. You've seen like what the new Virtua Fighter games look like. Those are pretty good graphics over there. And I did like the controls. It was so easy to fight in this one, unlike what I found in the demo for Yakuza 3.
Okay.
The weapon usage is great too. Like, you can just grab a bicycle from the left-hand side and just start smashing people with it. It's hilarious.
That's a weapon right there.
Yeah. And it breaks down and you're just left with like one of the bicycle wheels and you just hit people with that.
Until that breaks down?
Yep. And I like the fact that the difficulty of the villains weren't as tough as they were in Yakuza 3, because they were impossible to defeat in Yakuza 3.
Okay.
Now, the battle mode was good, but I'm pissed because they didn't have the adventure mode to demo, despite the fact that when the game came out over in Japan last year, they got the adventure mode demo. So, I'm a little upset about that. I really wished I could have given myself a chance or gotten a chance to go up against what the world was like in Yakuza 4 and see how different it was from Yakuza 3. But, having said that, the battle mode demo was pretty fun, although it will leave a little bit of a cramp in your hands after playing it because it is a bit of a button masher.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Now let's move on to the game we all got to try, Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm. I like Bulletstorm.
You like Bulletstorm? I told you. But I talked about the demo a couple weeks ago and I said, this game is going to be some epic shit.
Oh, and I also want to apologize. I heard your house got broken into and somebody stole Bulletstorm and your game system.
Nope.
That's what I heard.
Nope.
Oh, wait, I have to apologize next week. I'm sorry. It's like
a little bit of foreshadowing there.
It's like, huh, okay. Somebody broke in the house, stole it. Let's follow the cords in the snow because the idiot dragged it. Yes. Huh, at least right to Anvil's house.
Yep.
Anvil, did you break my house? No. Hold on.
Leash. How did you afford an Xbox 360?
Oh, I got my taxes!
Yeah, we're not going to buy that Anvil.
How do you
know? Then why are you using my gamer tag?
I liked it.
You can't use my own gamer tag when someone's...
I hacked yours. I learned computers overnight.
All right.
An old Soviet computer manual.
Okay, so let's... So, I'm about halfway through the main storyline of the game. And what the storyline is, you're Grayson Hunt. And you were originally hired by the army to defeat what you thought were, like, people that were against the world, that were trying to destroy the world. When it turns out that you were gunning down innocent people, so you go and become a rogue along with a couple of your other army friends, one of which is Ishii, who gets injured badly. So they have to combine him with some of like the robotics in their ship while they were flying. So now he's not half human, half machine.
He's RoboCop?
Somewhat.
Oh. RoboCop's the shit.
That's good movies.
So now you gotta fight off the army that you were once part of and try to get to the general who screwed you at the end.
Oh.
So far I am having the time of my life. I especially love the level where you control a giant robot dinosaur. And you just shoot them with lasers, you can smash them, and just the dialogue in that level alone is just hilarious. The characters, your main character Grayson starts singing, "He's my favorite robot toy, Ishii was okay, but he's not 50 feet tall."
Okay, well, I know me and Mr. Cuse, we played the Echoes mode. And we had so much fun with this. I mean, once he got past being decimated in the first minute.
Yeah.
Then he actually beat it by kicking people.
Yes.
Okay, now, what you don't realize is you have three weapons.
Yes.
You have a machine gun.
Well, you have a gun, because you got different types of guns you can use.
Well, in this one, it only gives you the machine
gun. Right.
Then you have the leash. Now,
yes.
You can either pull them to you, or you can blow them up and watch them fly in the air and sit there and shoot them in the air.
Right. It's like skeet people.
Yes. And then you have the greatest weapon of them all. Das Boot.
Yep, Das Boot.
You kick them, and you can kick them to death. And my favorite killing with your boot is you shoot them in the groin, and you kick them, and you get a mercy kill.
Yep.
You kick them.
Yep.
Yes, you kick them!
Yes, you kick them.
Okay. But, like, they have lots of really fun ones. Like, if you sit there and you do the leash and you blow them through midair, and there's something above them.
Yeah. You get the fly swatter.
You get the fly swatter. They get smashed.
If you pull them in the leash and you kick them into a cactus, they get pricked.
If you kick them off a bridge, they get vertigo. In this place called Vertigo. Yeah, I'm on bottom.
You too. Okay. So I liked it. I got killed, like everyone was saying, in about 10 seconds. And
yeah,
I could not stop smiling. So.
Because, alright, this was the greatest thing ever. There's giant dinosaur's bones above you. And
yeah.
He's getting beaten up from the ground. He's shooting at the bones as he's being knocked around. Which was the greatest thing I've ever seen, because I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
And he's laughing. He's like, tap, 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 tap. And then the next time he actually went up and beat it.
Yeah. The next time I just...
Yeah, we thought he was going to die, like, constantly. But then
I was scared for my life, but then I used Das Boot and I got through it.
But he ran out of ammo every time he was about to die. He's like, goes running away from it. catch me. And then somehow he found 200 rounds of ammo, and
yeah.
He killed like three people with 200 rounds.
Yeah.
Including the one dude that he shoots 50 times. And then he reloads with the one last round and shoots a dude in the kidney. He's like, ugh! And dies. He's like, what? He just shot you in the center chest 50 times, and it's a kidney shot that kills you?
Yep.
You're a creepy monster, dude. You're a very creepy monster.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some creepy looking characters in there.
Oh, yeah. We haven't seen the creepiest people yet.
My God, is my ex-girlfriend in there?
Not that creepy.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Marry me! Ah! Okay, I'm done.
So far, I'm about halfway through the game. I'll do a full review of the game when I beat it. But so far, this is one of the best first-person shooters I've ever played. What's so fucking funny?
Nothing.
All right, nothing.
What did I do?
Hey, did the game come in a 7-inch single? Sorry, we're done.
What's cool about getting it on 360, though, is that you get access to the beta pack for Gears of War 3.
Wow.
Really?
So when that goes up, I heard a rumor it might go up in April or May. You'll be, people who got it on the 360 will be able to play this this beta.
Nice.
Yeah, because I played Gears of War, and I thought it was a fun game. I think it lasted about 1 second in that game.
Ooh!
You know, it was pretty good for me. You know, yeah, so.
Well, the guys who made Bulletstorm made Gears of War 3.
Oh, okay. It's a fun game. I have to play a little bit more, see if I can last longer. But
yeah,
I must say, I think, well, this game, I thought was more fun than Gears of War, but that's just my opinion.
Well, it's been getting great reviews. So far, with what I've played so far, I can easily give this a 5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, I can do the same from what I've played.
I give it a 5 out of 5. So.
Alright.
I don't know. I played Gears of War, and the second it started, I got sniped by Snake from Metal Gear Solid, and then Sonic the Hedgehog came and ran over my body, and then Donkey Kong threw it. Oh, yeah.
He was playing it in his dream.
Hey, you have to admit, that'd be a fun video game. Take all those people and put it in one. Alright, well, we're all done. I want to make
an
announcement. I would love to see a new RoboCop movie.
I heard rumors that they're supposed to be doing a RoboCop reboot.
You have to admit, that'd be awesome. With our new technology. And make his suit black.
Well, never mind. RoboCop remake is officially dead.
Oh. Moment of silence.
Well, wait, no. Breaking news. MGM is back with RoboCop, Poltergeist, and Mr. Mom remakes.
Yay! Wait, Mr. Mom?
Yes!
Poltergeist, not so much.
And there's a rumor that says the person directing this RoboCop remake will be Darren Aronofsky.
Yes!
Who did Black Swan.
I know. But don't get me started, because I hated that movie.
Okay.
I think I'm the only person in the world that hated that movie.
I didn't see it.
You'd hate it.
I don't think I'd like it anyways. I think you're right. I think I would hate it.
Maybe. You'll have to see. I loved it.
Did you?
Nanya liked it.
I'm not big into psychological thrillers like that. I think I'd be scared. You know, I'd be... I'd watch the girl, I'd be, you know...
Holding her?
Holding her, so...
Honey, hold me. You're supposed to be holding me. Shut up.
Yeah, I wouldn't work out.
I held you last night for Jason.
Yep.
But you hold me for weird swan lesbians.
Well, if that's what the way that makes you want to hold her...
I don't know.
If that's what floats your boat...
I don't own a boat. I'm poor, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Scooter.
I have a piece of plywood and a sheet with a broomstick.
Okay.
A little perverted, but okay.
Wait, no, you put the broomstick in, you put the sheet on to make the sale?
Alright, I was thinking of something else. But
see, you've had a dirty mind all day. And I can't look at you because you get me laughing.
You get me laughing too.
Let's stick a fork in this podcast.
Okay.
Alright.
Unless there's anything else you want to declare.
No.
I'm just going to say that I didn't do it this week, but next week I'm going to review a new artist or an artist that's out there. So
okay, cool.
For next week.
All right. So remember, visit our website at bostonbashbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you want to send us an email asking... for us to review something, if you have any comments, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. We are also on MySpace at myspace.com/bostonbastardbrigade. We are also on Facebook. If you go into the search menu, just type in Boston Bash Brigade. You should find us right there. And I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck.
And what's mine again? Anvil63?
Yeah, you're at Anvil63.
If you go and check me out, about a year ago I wrote pepperoni pizza and I misspelled it too.
Well, maybe you should start following the Bruins and the Pats and follow all those people and they can link us into... you can link them to us.
Look, I don't understand Twitter.
Okay.
We'll talk.
So, and also?
We're going to be putting up everything for our Widow Sunday contest.
Yeah, but who do you also want people to check out as well?
Oh, duh! Check out our sisters of the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI. Go show them some love when you're there. Check out Geek Gag Room. Also, check out our friends at Gamer Reaction at GameReaction.TV.
Yep.
And like I started to say before Duck rudely interrupted me.
Well, I was trying to...
They were going to go second. It's okay. We're going to be putting up all the information really soon about our Widow Sunday contest. Basically, if you live in the northern Massachusetts area, North Shore, Worcester area, you have a chance to sit down in an interview with myself, another member of the group, while we interview Widow Sunday. If you live outside of the area and you win, you get an autographed poster.
Okay.
What if your name is Widow Sunday and you win the Widow Sunday contest?
Then they get an autographed poster of me.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's a very creepy poster. So I
advise... Me with fluffy bunnies. I'm wearing my fight shorts and gloves playing with bunnies.
So, anything we want to say before we go?
I guess I could say if you know, hope you guys enjoy the Oscars that are coming up.
Yeah, we'll be we'll be matching up our picks from that we did last month. Well, we're gonna review the winners and compare them to our picks.
Did I win?
You weren't nominated.
Fuck! Did Justin Bieber win?
He wasn't nominated.
Oh, thank God! As I say, if you got nominated over me, I want to cry.
You got nominated for worst performance in a basketball game while winning MVP.
Okay. So, well, I hope he wins that one.
Yeah, I'm going
to. Oh, I actually heard he was nominated for worst hair in a hair ad.
Well, he just cut the hair.
I heard that. Oh, but I also heard Troy Polamalu jumped him and tried to shave his head. He took his long curls, tied them up with him, tried to shave it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, Justin Bieber's not human. His tongue starts striking the Troy Polamalu, so he's, you know, retreating.
Yeah.
He said, I would be back.
Okay, so until next time, it's Continue Duck.
I'm Mr. Fuse.
And Danville.
Say sayonara, bitches.
We are the bastards. Sayonara, motherfucker.